Good morning. I desire your prayers this morning. I have some thoughts that I feel inspired to share this morning. I want to go to John 10 and the 10th verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And this is what I want to talk to us about this morning by the help of the Lord. We have an adversary, the devil. And he is called a thief in the Bible. And this is what I want to talk to us this morning is to be aware, a note of caution about the thief, because he's going to come. I want to relate a dream I had a while back, and it really stuck with me. It caused me to really stop and think. In my dream, this was several months ago, I was driving. We have a piece of property with woods on it, and we have trails through the woods. And we were exploring one of the trails in our vehicle. My wife was driving, and as we were going, we have a hill, and the dream was very much, the setting of it was just pretty much like it really is. On my hill, I have a lot of stuff on my hill that the previous people that lived in the house put there. We call it Junk Hill. And there's all kinds of stuff up there. There's a little cab or a little shack up there that's full of stuff, and there's an old tobacco planter up there, and there's a bunch of mailboxes and wire and just about anything. If I was a child, I'd be very excited about the prospect of exploring there. Well, someone was there exploring, and as I went up there and we drove up one of the trails, I looked over and there was a man over to my left. He was just rummaging through our stuff. And, just like it was his. And you know how you just kind of know things in a dream. You just have a knowledge of what's going on. I knew that he was looking for stuff to take. He wasn't looking, he wasn't just being an extra nosy visitor. He was looking for things that he could take away with him. And so in my dream, I said, Andrea, this guy's, how dare he do this? Let's drive over there. I'm going to show him a thing or two. I'm going to show him who's boss. He can't just do that. This is my property. This is my stuff. And so we went over, we started driving over there, and the man dropped what he was doing. And he looked up when he saw me coming, and immediately he began to run as fast as he could toward us, not away. And at that moment, I realized some things. My door on my car wasn't locked, and my window was down, and we have electric windows, so I can't just reach down and spin it as fast as I can. I got away. Our van has a lot of miles on it. The window rolls up slowly. I didn't have any weapons in my hand. The person had a stick. A big stick. And as he neared the vehicle, I had a real sense of panic. I mean, it just washed over me. And I was frantically, with one hand, I was trying to get the door locked. And with the other hand, I was trying to roll up the window. But it wasn't quick enough. And he reached the van, and he grabbed the door, and he jerked it open. Because I wasn't coordinated enough to... Anyway... He jerked the door open, and I kind of slid out. So I'm in a prone position here, semi-prone, just there, and he's got a stick in his hand, and he raised it up over his hand, and the tables were turned. One minute, I was, so I thought, complete master of the situation. This is my land. He's on my land. I'm in a vehicle. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to tell him to leave. If he doesn't leave, I'm going to make him leave. And 10 seconds later, the situation is totally reversed, and I'm completely at his mercy. My door's open, and my feet have slidden out of it. He's got a big stick and he's holding it over his head. My wife's in the vehicle. She doesn't have anything either. And I looked up into his eyes. And in his eyes, I saw the most merciless, pitiless, inhuman, you might say, countenance. There was no pity there. There was no sense of, I want to fight a fair fight here. There was no sense of fairness, no sense of justice, no sense of right or wrong. The only thing that was on his face was, I'm going to annihilate you. And he swung at me with his stick. It was a big stick. And he missed. And somehow I knew in my dream that if he swung again, he would get me. And he cut at me. The first time he swung at me, and it was like he was trying to hit a home run. He was out to kill me. And all I said was, help, Lord. That's all I could say. It's all I had time to say. And at that point, I woke up. And immediately, the song strongly was impressed on my mind, number 302. And I'm going to read it. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle never give o'er. Renew it boldly every day and help divine implore. Never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath up to his blessed abode. And I got some things, I got some good things, some warnings and some thoughts out of this dream. I want to share them with you this morning. The most spiritual person in our own strength is no match for the devil. I don't care if you've been saved for 6 months, a year, 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years. We don't have our natural strength and our natural wits, our intellect, whatever faculties we possess do not compare with the cunning and the wit and the, can I say, even wisdom of the devil. He is, I don't mean that as a compliment or in a good way, but we are no match for the devil in our own strength. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Desire your prayers. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And I don't believe this is just talking about somebody that is on an ego trip and that says, hey, I'm doing good. If you stand, if you have the victory, the devil's out to get you. The devil doesn't want you to have that. He doesn't want you to stand. Let him that think, if you have the victory, take heed, because there's a plan that the devil's got to take you from where you're at. The world, there is, and in a lot of even Christianity, they teach that once you're saved, that you can never fall from grace, that you can never be lost, that once you're saved, you are forever destined to go to heaven. But the devil has a plan. That teaching is a false teaching. I want to say this morning that the devil has a plan. And if we get to where we think we have it all, if we get to where we think that we have been saved a long time, we're experienced, we know all the devil's tactics, we know his tricks, we've seen, the devil's got one more that we don't know about. I want to read the words of another song. It's number 250 in our book. And I'll read one verse of it here. It says, stand by the cross like a soldier strong. Fearlessly face the foe. Soon shall the army of night recede back from the morning's triumphant glow. I want to notice the name of the man who wrote that song. Daniel Teasley. He was an incredibly gifted and a talented man. The Lord used him. He got saved. He was greatly instrumental in the pioneer work of the Evening Light Reformation. I believe he was the editor of the Gospel Trumpet Company for a while. He was the editor of something, and he served in that capacity. He was also a Sunday school teacher. He was a minister. He traveled around. He had great responsibilities, and he was a man that was greatly used by God. He got really busy, and his life got full of things that were working for the Lord, and he had, as I understand it, he had some things that he started to struggle with. He didn't have enough time sometimes to spend with his family. Him and his wife started drifting apart a little bit. Around the year 1919, D.O. Teasley went somewhere on an extended, I hope I'm getting these details right, he went somewhere on an extended mission trip, and while he was there, he had a great failure. The devil had one more trap laid for D.O. Teasley. The devil had a plan, and it took many years to execute that plan. I don't know how long the devil plans ahead, but I can see this plan starting to be executed 10, 15, 20 years back. He got to where he knew all the teachings, the doctrines. He knew, he had knowledge, he had understanding. I think about Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, was he not? He had great understanding. He had Proverbs. He's the one, we're going to read some scriptures, Lord willing, in a little bit that he wrote. But, I was talking to someone else a while back about someone that was greatly used by God. Old pioneer. And it was someone that had been associated with this person, and this person had an enormous failure in his life. And the person that I was talking to said, you know, they got to where they thought they didn't really need to spend a lot of time seeking the Lord. We heard about seeking this morning, did we not? He's got to where he felt like that he just kind of, he could pull a lesson or something out of previous experience or out of knowledge. He could just come up with something on the spur of the moment. He was gifted. He was versed in the scriptures. He knew, and he got kind of careless, and he didn't spend a lot of time seeking the Lord. You know, that's our lifeline. Our prayer life, I remember several years ago, I had a project that I was working on. And it was a project for the Lord I was doing. I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to do some work for Him with the computer. And it was a great undertaking, and it took many hours. And I was working, and I had a job, I had a full-time job, and I had children and a family to be with. And so I was trying to juggle all those responsibilities. And some things didn't get as much time as they should have gotten. And I thought, well, you know, the Lord will keep me. And I didn't stop my worship time. I didn't, but I shaved some off of it here and there. And I would kind of make a quick prayer and a lot sometimes. And, you know, I don't recommend that to anyone. I had some of the hardest struggles after that time. It's by the mercy of the Lord that I didn't lose out completely. I want to go to Judges and read about Samson, 16th chapter of Judges. You know, even if we're doing work that we feel like the Lord has called us to do, that's no reason why we should slack off on our on our prayer life, on our seeking the Lord. We need to know what the Lord wants for us in our life. We need to know what kind of things He wants to teach us. We can't ever get to the place, no matter how long we've been saved, that we're going to go kind of on Christian autopilot mode. We're going to go ahead, we're going to cruise on in now because we have all this knowledge. Kind of like falling asleep. In Judges 16, Samson, he saw a woman that he was very strong. The Lord made a specific purpose for him to fulfill. The Lord told his parents that he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He had great things for Samson to do. He had a great work for him to do. And in the 16th chapter, he started visiting a woman down there in the Philistines. And if you grant me a little liberty, I want to kind of speculate a little about what was going through his mind. In one day, he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And in my mind, I can see that he got to feeling like, you know, this isn't really that dangerous. Yeah, sure, I wouldn't recommend anybody else doing this, but I can do this because the Lord has given me strength here, and I can handle it. I can handle it. And so he went down there, and he went poking around where he wasn't supposed to be going. And he was in a place where he was not supposed to be. And he befriended a woman there, and she didn't have any good purposes in mind. And she had plans. She had a purpose. But it was to undermine everything that the Lord had given him. And he had several times where she would ask, "What's your secret?" And he would just kind of tease her along. But he should have known that sooner or later, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. But he thought, "I can handle it. I can handle this. I'm not going to lose my gift. I'm strong. If the whole house is full of Philistines, what if they come and try to capture me? I can handle it." And one day he went a little too far, didn't he? And in my mind, I can just picture, "Samson, have a drink with me. Let's drink. Let's have a good time." 5 or 6 drinks later, "Samson, you're so strong. You are so strong. What is it that, why are you so strong? Tell me about your God. Tell me about what He's done for you. Tell me about the gift that He's given you." And little by little, she got him to yield, didn't she? And then he went to sleep in that condition. The 19th verse, she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep, and I said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You see, the gift that the Lord gave him was utterly, totally dependent upon the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. The Jewish historians say that Samson was not a big man. He was a small man. And so the thing that enabled him to kill 1,000 Philistines in one day and to carry the gates of a city all the way to the top of a hill was by the Spirit of the Lord. And that made all the difference. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. What a sad story. What might have been? What opportunities were neglected? What things were not brought to pass because Samson went to sleep and got in a condition where he thought, "I can handle this. I'm strong enough. I can handle this." The Spirit of the Lord makes all the difference. And it makes all the difference in our lives today. I want to go to Matthew and read in the 26th chapter. Verse 31. So Jesus was talking to him, and he said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." He was confident, wasn't he? "Lord, I love you. I'm willing to go with you to death. I'm not gonna..." But Jesus said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." They should have taken notice of the words that he said and been concerned. But Peter said, "Basically, Lord, you don't know me. I know I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to do this. You just wait and see." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now I want to notice what's going on here. Jesus, he revealed to his disciples some things that were going to happen. He said, the shepherd's going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. You all are going to be offended at me. And he let them know what was going to happen. And they knew the situation. They knew that Jesus was about to go through the time that he was called into the world for. They knew that Jesus said, "You all are going to come into a hard time yourselves. You all are going to have some difficulties here." And they, to me, they should have taken note of that. And I've wondered what this means, where it, he came to his disciples and he found them asleep and they said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And I thought, well, watch for what? What are they going to watch for? Are they going to watch for the guards? But you know, there were things on their mind. There were things that Jesus had revealed to them that they needed. Jesus gave them a warning. He said, "Couldn't you watch me with 1 hour? Watch and pray." And this comment, I don't think this admonition wasn't just for this time alone, but it was something that Peter, I believe, he took with him the rest of his life. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You have things that are going to come your way that if you sleep in these kind of situations, things are going to come upon you unaware. And you may think that you know yourself, and you may think that you have it under control, and you may think that I've got the grace to face anything that comes my way. But especially, you know, Jesus gave them a warning. This is going to happen. We have a situation coming that's going to be the greatest trial, the greatest temptation, the hardest thing that we've had to deal with, and they fell asleep. And so Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit's willing. You want to do the right thing, but the flesh is weak. So what do we need? We need to watch and pray, don't we? That we enter not into temptation. We need to seek the Lord. We need to say, Lord, I don't know if I've got what it takes. I don't know if I've got on hand what it takes to take the next step. Lord, would you come and give me the grace? Lord, I'm tired of falling in this place. Lord, I'm tired of having this failure. Lord, I'm going to be put in this situation again, and I've always failed before. But Lord, Please, give me the power. I choose to do the right thing, but my flesh is weak and I need your power. This is what we need to do. And this is what, you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, Peter, this is who Peter really was. And this failure made manifest to Peter who he really was. Sometimes the day, the light that the Lord shines on us is going to reveal who we really are. And at those times, we need something greater than just our willpower, our self-control, because sometimes, all of the time, everything we've got on hand is no match for the plan the devil has. First Peter, let's go to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And I want to comment, I believe that the scripture we just quoted from, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That was written by Solomon. And we know what happened to him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Resist steadfast. There's a scripture, let's go to James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, it's not like we don't have, you know, we don't have anything in on our own, but sometimes people wear themselves out because they're trying so hard to keep from falling again and again and again. They're trying to resist the devil, and it's not working. But the first part of this verse says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Lord, I don't have on hand what it takes to keep me from the hour of temptation, but I submit myself to your will. You know, there are things that we have, that we hold dear, that are our own protection. And they are, people look at us and say, this is restrictive, this is unnecessary, but there are things, you know, the next verse says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So the people that are doing the things they're not supposed to do, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You know, we have to have a pure heart in order for the Lord to work with us. We have to have a heart that says, I'm not going to do the things. You know, I've changed the way I pray just a little bit. I used to pray, Lord, help me not to do this. Help me not to do this. Help me not to do that. Help me. And that's fine. But I say, Lord, today I choose to do your will. Give me the grace. Give me the power. Give me the strength to do what I've made up my mind to do. Because I can make up all my mind all I want to, but if I don't have any weapons in my hand, it's just like in the dream where you go out and you think, I've got this. And in just a little bit, the tables are turned and you don't even know how it happened. Proverbs 27. Verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? You know, The short answer is that they don't. Riches are not forever, and no, the crown does not endure to every generation. Just because my parents had the victory, just because my grandparents had the victory, just because I've been raised with truth, with light, with understanding, and just because I've had it for a long time is no guarantee that I'm going to retain it forever. There's no guarantee that I'm not going to lose what I've got, but there is a guarantee. There's a scripture, and we won't turn there, but it's in, I think it's in 1 Peter or maybe 2 Peter, and it says, add to your faith knowledge, virtue, temperance, godliness, those things, because if you do those things, if you shall never fall. And so we don't have to go around in a state of doubt and fear. The song we sang a while ago says, must I be under guilt and sin? Let's see here. Let me get that. Must I suppose I'm right today? Tomorrow think I've gone astray? Let demons hold me in dismay? No, because the blood of Jesus cleanseth. He gave us the power to overcome those things. The song, there's another song that says, shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? You know, a lot of us have things that come our way that are meant to overthrow us. They are brought by the devil, but I want to tell you something else, that the Lord knows exactly what we need to make it to heaven. And there are times that we wonder why we have things in our life, why we have to deal with this person or this situation. It's because the Lord knows what we need. And we'll get to that just a little bit more in a few minutes. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Because if you don't, He's gonna get you where you don't have the armor. Whatever spot that, He don't care. He don't care if it's the feet, the head, the shoulders, whatever. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I want to put in there, we wrestle not against just flesh and blood. Measly flesh and blood. We've got something a lot bigger to deal with. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers that are stronger than we are, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I wish that we had time to sit here and study these things, because there are really, there's a lot here, and I feel like we're just kind of skimming over the top of them, but maybe it would be a good thing if we went home and studied these things for ourselves. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle never give over. Renew it boldly every day. And help divine implore. I remember my uncle one time, Uncle Philip tells a story about an aunt that has been dead for many years, and he came to her one time. She had a profession of salvation, and he said, Aunt, do you ever seek the Lord? Do you ever pray? And she said, no. Why? Why should I? I live a good life. I'm a good person. I'm self-controlled. I don't know exactly what all she said. She might not have said all that, but the context of what my uncle was telling me was sufficient for me to guess that that's what she was trusting in, was her good works, what she perceived to be. You know, the Lord wants to teach us things, and I'm just guessing, but I'm guessing that she had areas in her life that were real strongholds that she never got over. How are you going to get over those things if you don't seek the Lord? How are you going to, well, maybe the Lord had a plan for her life. Maybe the Lord had a path for her and she never took it. And she missed the opportunity. We have to maintain our prayer life with the Lord. We have to maintain our communion with God. We've got to seek and keep seeking. Not just when we're wanting the answer to a specific thing, but there's things the Lord wants to speak to us that we don't know about. And there's things that are going to come. You know, Jesus, He warned the disciples and that was good, but there are things coming up on the horizon that we don't see at all. And how are we going to be prepared if we just go coasting on? And her brother Michael I've heard him use the term mick prayer, where you basically you go through the fast food lane, so to speak, and I've got work to do, I've got things I've got to get done. They might be good things, they might be important things, and I'm gonna go and I'm just gonna, Lord, help me today. I need your strength. Amen. Thank you. And then we go. And the devil, the thief in the dream, didn't have any compassion and he didn't fight fair. And the devil's not gonna fight fair either. You know, there are, read about battles in history and, it's not so much this way anymore, but, in history, they would have codes of conduct that they would follow and they would call it a fair fight. And, the devil doesn't do that. You'd think when you're really weak, super tired, sick, whatever, that the devil would give you a break. But that's the time when he fights the hardest. That's the time when he's not going to give you any kind of a space at all. And I'm not trying to say all these things to just get us down and get us to be scared that, oh, I hope I don't lose out with the Lord today. We can have a confidence. But the Spirit of the Lord is what makes all the difference. The devil is the opposite of everything God is. He is the accuser. He's the silencer. He's the tempter. He's the destroyer and he's the thief. He does all of these things and he wants to come and he will come. You know, I could have in the dream, I could have said, what if I would have recognized and say, you know, I don't have on hand what it takes to fight this guy. Andrea, let's just drive on. He's still going to take your stuff. And he's going to come and he's going to steal from us. You can go to sleep if you want to and you can look the other way and you can say, you know what, I don't have what it takes to deal with this. Here's the deal. If the devil's on your land, it's time for him to get off, but we can't do it in our own strength. So we can't just walk on by and turn a blind eye to it and say, I don't really want to tackle that right now. I don't have the strength. We don't. Oh, watch and fight and pray. The battle never give over. He's going to come and we're not going to have anything left if we don't fight. He's a thief and he wants to silence us. He wants to silence us in church. He wants to silence our testimony. He wants to squash our victory. I don't know how many times that I have gone to work and there was an intense battle raging in my mind. And I was thinking, you know what? It would occur to me, oh, this is Wednesday. We're going to go and we're going to have testimonies tonight. And I'm not going to have one because I spent all day just under this cloud of gloom and depression and despair and kind of semi-halfway sort of victory here. Well, you know, the Lord has more for us than that. He has something for us. You know, for a long time, the Lord started dealing, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone here, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say something about this. The Lord dealt with me a few years ago. So, you know, you never raise your hand in church. And you never pray in church. And I said, well, I'm shy. And I am. I'm very introverted. But you know what? that wasn't the real reason. And I wonder how many times sometimes we hide behind this thing. You know, I'm shy. I'm backward. Oh, that's not really my personality. But the real reason, could it be that we don't have the victory in our soul, where we don't have inside the substance wherewith we would want to raise our hand and say, yes, that's true. That's true in my own life. And we can live, and the devil, that's what the devil wants. He wants to steal our victory every day. He wants to steal our peace every day. He wants to steal our confidence every day. Or when we come to service, we're sitting there and we're under a cloud of gloom. And we're under this, well, you know, and we don't want to be a hypocrite, do we? But, so we're saying, well, I'm not saying if you don't have the victory, don't manufacture it. But too many times the devil wants to take, and he will if he has any opportunity at all, and we're going to go to church, we're not going to be able to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. I don't want us to be in a box and say, okay, everybody has to do this. If we sing this song, you have to raise your hand. The Lord knows each of our situations. But let's not let those things be for the reason that we just don't have the victory in our life. I want to wrap this up soon, Lord willing. Let's go read a few verses in Revelations. Revelations 2. And start with the 8th verse. Now unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What if, I want to ask us this morning, what if we win all the battles with the devil in our life except one? The last one, the first, whatever. I say the first one, if we don't win the first one, if we don't win a battle with the devil, it will be our last battle. Because the scripture says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'm thinking, a long time ago, I had the opportunity to talk with someone and that was going through a difficult time in their life. And so was I. And we were kind of sharing our experiences. And this other person said, you know, there are 4 people in my life. If those people didn't exist, if they were somehow just not in my life, I didn't have them to deal with, I could have the victory. Where's the overcoming? So, God, and I said this a while ago, God knows exactly what we need to make it to heaven. God puts things in our life. You know, there's a song, an old song that says, don't take my burden or my cross away. For I would grow careless and idle, I fear. My eyes would be dry and I would never shed a tear. Lest I forget that I need you today. Don't take my burdens or my cross away. You know, we have things in our life that come against us and things that are difficult, don't we? Every one of us do. It could be the neighbor across the street. It could be a financial situation. It could be any number of things. But you know, the Lord wants us to overcome and to win every battle. And he gives us the strength to overcome those things. And here's one thing, we don't know what else is going to happen. The thing that the Lord has brought into our life could be could be what we need to overcome something way bigger later. And we don't know. And if we don't, if we skirt around those things that the Lord brings into our life and we'll say, you know what? I'm going to move because I can't handle my neighbor. I'm going to move. I had someone do that one time. I had a rent house and someone paid his rent right on the dot every month. But after a while, he said, I'm moving. I said, why? He said, I cannot get along with the neighbor. I cannot get along with him. And so I'm going to move. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You know, the Lord brings things into our life. I think there are so many things. What if the Lord wanted to use him to help that person? What if he was going to be part of the means to that person's salvation? What if there was something that was going to come down the road that was a lot bigger, but now he's not prepared for it because if he wants the victory in his life, he's going to have to go right back to square one and deal with that very same problem. I remember hearing Brother Marty talking about a coworker that he had one time, and he was telling this while he was preaching, and it was somebody that was very annoying. And so Brother Marty started to pray and say, Lord, transfer me or transfer him or something. I cannot put up with this person. I just cannot deal with it. And the Lord wouldn't do it. And the situation stayed there. And then the Lord started dealing with him. And he started changing his attitude. And after that, the person, was talking to Brother Marty, this annoying person. He said, you know, I'm quitting my job. I'm leaving. And Brother Marty went home and prayed. He said, Lord, help this person to keep their job. Don't let this person quit. I don't feel like I've gained the victory over this area in my life yet. I want this in here because I feel like this is an opportunity. This is what you've brought in my life to get the victory. And I want to squelch the devil right here. I want this problem. I want this battle. And you know, God answered his prayer and that person didn't move. Let's read a few more here. Revelation 3 and the 5th verse. You know, these places that promise, all these promises. Well, let's read. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his book out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The 21st verse. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. I think of the scripture that says that Jesus was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Can you imagine getting to the end of the way and they call your name? I don't know how all this is going to work, but they call your name on the roll. And Jesus said, this is mine. Because I saw what he had to go through. I saw the things that he had to deal with. I saw the things that she had to master. I saw the battles. I saw the struggles. And yet, and they overcame. I overcame. And they overcame too. They did what I did. And this soul is mine. Father, this soul belongs to me. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know, D.O. Teasley's life could have ended much differently. I feel like I kind of got off the track there. He had, in around 1919, he had a great failure in his life. And you know, the Lord had forgiveness for that. He could have repented, and the Lord was ready to take him back. But he became very discouraged. He couldn't forgive himself. He went to church for a while, but he tried to hold on for a while, and after a while, he just stopped coming altogether. And he told him, when I die, I don't want the name of God mentioned at my funeral. What a sad ending to a man that was so used by God. The devil came. And he's going to come with us too. And he came looking for things to steal. And he stole. And you know, that doesn't have to be the end of the story. Our ending Even if our vessel is broken, the Lord can make another vessel. It doesn't say in Revelations to him that had self-control, to him that tried to be a good person, to him that did the best they could when they could, to them that were as honest as they could be, to him that overcometh those things in our life, those are the things that when the thief comes, the Lord has the grace to help us in time of need, and He will come. So I'd like to caution us today to not get to a place where, as the song says, we at ease sit down. It's the Lord's will that we overcome, and He's given us the grace to do that. Pray for me.